Kiryat an Omos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches is on page 306. V'nosh Dayim v'sholosh Olim el Ir Achas. Two or three cities. V'nosh Dayim v'sholosh Olim, two or three cities el Ir Achas. Lishtoy Smayim v'lo Yispo, to drink water, but they'll not be satisfied. V'loy Shaftem Adai, you have still not returned. Adai to Minum Hashem. So this passage tells over here that there's going to be a drought, and people and there's going to be a population shift. People are going to travel from one city to another city to where they can find water. Two or three cities will move to one city. Okay, we'll see them far from each other. This is maybe a few took them together. Pasuk Tes. Okay, Pasuk Tes. I have smitten you with shidafon, is meaning the strong winds. Uvayero koin means that the crop will decay. Harbois gagosechem v'charmechem, the abundance of your roofs and your vineyards, useinechem v'zeischem, all of the produce that grows on your roof and in your vineyard and in your figs and your v'zeischem. Yoichal ha'gozem will eat by the grasshoppers, v'lo shaftem adayim Hashem and Hashem. This refrain keeps repeating itself. I've done all of these things to you. It's obvious as day that I'm coming to punish you for your sins, and you still did not do it to tshuva. Pasuk Yud, another pasuk. Shilachti b'chem dev v'derech b'tshraim, I've sent against you a plague on the way to Egypt. Harakti v'cherev b'churechem im shvi suseichem. I have brought death to your young men with the captivity of your horses. I will bring up, the oish means a decay in your camp. And in v'apchem here means, it means in your nose or in your anger. Okay, we'll see what it means. Let's read the pasuk. V'leshaftem adai no mashem. You still did not return. Okay, we keep on repeating that phrase. Pasuk yud. I have brought a mapecha. Ki mapecha selukim es sedoim v'es amara. Just like the Shvarach who has overturned sedoim v'amara, there's going to be a great upheaval. V'atihiyu ki ud mutzol mitzreifa. Like an ud. Ud means a poker. When you have a campfire and you want to get the fire going, you take a piece of wood or a stick and you stick it into the fire, and it gets burnt because it's also wood. But a little small amount is left over. There's a teeny little piece of wood that's left over. That's the biggest call, is that there's going to be a very, very small remnant of only a few people will survive the korban that is coming. Okay, we've done over here a lot of psukim. Now let's do psukim again much slower and much more detail, and we'll start first with the mitzudot stavi. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, we'll start again. Good morning, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Pasuk Ches, let's go back and start that again. Vinohu, it's on page 307. Vinohu, Anoshim Mishtaim O Mishalosh Arim Shalo Yorat Shama Geshem. We learned yesterday, 2 days ago, there's going to be something very unique that's going to happen. There's going to be, Hashem is going to send down rain, but it's only going to rain in certain locations. In one city it will rain, but in the neighboring city it will not rain. So what's going to happen? The people who live in the cities where there was no rain will suffer from drought. So what will they do? They will relocate. They will be refugees. They will relocate to the cities where there is rain. So people who live in two or three cities where the rain did not come, they will relocate to the city where there is rain. Mayim lishdois. But yet it says, v'lohoyu seveim min hashashia v'lokimat mayim matzu ba. They will not be enough. There will not be enough. There's going to be an enormous demand. If the one city which does have rain is now overwhelmed by the people who are coming to take advantage of the fact that it has rain, it'll clean out whatever they have. v'loyishavtem. All of this is an obvious sign from Shemayim that Hashem is angry. Hashem wants to punish the people, but the people have not yet taken the message. V'loyishavtem, they refuse to do teshuva ki imzel lo likachtem musar. V'loyishavtem, they refuse to do teshuva. So now let's read the pasuk again according to the Mitzvot inside the pasuk Ches, page 306, pasuk Ches v'na'u. This is a continuation we learned yesterday, 2 days ago. There's going to be rain. The rain will fall on one city, but the neighboring cities there will not be rain. This appears to be a curse for the city which did receive rain. Why is it a curse? Because now they are overwhelmed. All of the neighboring cities are coming, are invading, and are demanding, "Give us water." If it did not rain anywhere, then no one would bother them. Now
that's what's happening now, right?
Honduras.
No, in Mexico,
yeah.
They're coming over here. They want, so it's a curse. The place that does receive blessing, they are, in essence, because their neighbors do not have blessing, or the demands are so overwhelming, it turns into a curse for them. Okay, and the pasuk, no, they will move. People will relocate. What will be the proportion? Shetayim, or shalosh arim, two or three cities that do not have water, they will relocate el ir achas to one city that does have water for the purpose of lishtos mayim. But there's not enough. V'lo yisbohu. There's not going to be enough for anyone. And therefore, people should recognize that it's the Yad Hashem. Hashem is angry, and we should do teshuva. Yet Hashem gives us musar still. V'lo yishavtem odai. You have not returned odai to me. Odai means to me. You have not done. It's a very unusual. This type of expression we don't have that often. Pleshavtem odai. You have not yet. You have not returned to me. Nu'um Hashem. So says Hashem. Now, pasuk tes in the Mitzudos Tavid, page 307. Harbois marbis peri ganoi seichem your ginois. Okay, I translate you not guys. I made a mistake before. I said your roof. I'm sorry. Your gardens. The abundance of fruit that is found in your gardens. Ochal ha'arbe, the pasuk goes on to say, will be consumed by the locust. V'lo kibaltem hano mimarbis ha'peros, and you have derived nothing from the beautiful fruit that you have invested your effort, your resources to produce. It will be completely destroyed by the locusts. All the mitzvah says, we read the pasuk again. Hikesi eschem bashidofoyin, Hashem says, I'm going to smite you with mighty winds. The mighty winds, they destroy the crop. Uvaye rokoin. Decay, your grain will decay. Harboy skanoy sechem, the abundance of fruit that is found in your gardens, v'charmeichem, and your vineyards, v'sa'inechem, and your figs, v'zei sechem, and your olives, yechal ha'gozam, will be eaten by the gozam, by the locust, v'leshav t'modai, and again Hashem says, and after all this musa, you still do not do teshuva num Hashem. Now we go to Pasuk Yud, in the Mitzvot David. B'derech Mitzrayim, Kishaholhu Bahurechem Rechve Susim Loredes Mitzrayim Lishpar Bar Kisham Yesh Harbe Tavua. This is Mamish Maisa Avay Similabanim. Here at the time of the during this period of time, at this time of the Bayis Rishain, it's going to tell us that there's going to be a very great famine in the land of Israel, and the people are going to go to Egypt, because there in Egypt Yesh Shever, there is an abundance of food. So your young, who are you going to send to Egypt to bring back some food? Your young men. Exactly what happened during the time of the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, there was a famine in Eretz Canaan, and he sent his children, Ki Yesh Shever. Yaakov says, I heard that there is food in Egypt. Go down to Egypt and buy for us food. Lama Tisrohu. Why should you suffer from famine and look at each other in the state of want? So here, it's the same thing will happen again in history. They would ride horses. A terrible tragedy happened on the road. They got sick. Some of them got sick naturally due to a plague, and some of them were killed by an enemy. They ran into the wrong people. The robbers, they killed these young men and they stole the horses for themselves. They wanted their possession. Okay, the next page, pasuk page 208, the ale v'oish, V'oish is an unusual word. It means sirchoin, filth, stench. Machanechem, and shehamachaneh sheyardu Mitzrayim lo, the people who went down to Egypt, shemesu badever v'nergu b'cheref, hayu mushlochim al pnei hasodeh, they did not receive kever Yisrael. They were not, did not even merit to be buried. The olam mehem sirchoin rav, a stench came from their bodies. They are sirchoin ola be'apichem. What does that mean? The sirchoin, the odor, the stench, ascended your own noses. What does that mean? Ki kishaholchu shuv lemitzrayim lishbar bar avru derech alehem v'ola hasirchoin bi'apam. This is an incredible horror. The first wave, there was starvation in the land of Eretz Yisrael. They had no choice but to send their best young men to Egypt to purchase food. Many of them died through a plague, or they were killed by an enemy, and their horses were stolen. Their bodies were not buried. They were just lying on the road, and the bodies decayed, and it produced a stench. Time passed. And now the people living in Eretz Yisrael, they were desperate. They were even more desperate. They had no choice but to send a second wave of young men to Egypt to purchase food to survive. And when the second wave of young men traveled to Egypt, they passed the same roads where their comrades, where the first group passed, and they came across their dead bodies that were lying on the road, and the stench of the dead bodies that had been decaying in the fields, their stench went up, and the new group inhaled that stench. So the Agmas Nefesh is just infinite. It's bad enough that they died. They died and they suffered such humiliation. They did not even merit to be buried. And now, when the second wave has to go down to buy bread, they have no choice but to try again. They have to pass on the road and smell the carcasses of their own brothers. This is a very great curse. Let's read that pasuk again now. I sent vachem against you, a plague. When you went down to Egypt to buy bread, many of the young people died in a disease. Harakti vacherev. And then some were killed by sword by an enemy. Bachu Reichem. Who killed them? Im Shivisu Seichem. They were killed by people who killed them so that they can take as spoils, as a spoil of war, your horses. Mm-hmm. They wanted your possessions. And then when the second wave of young men went to Egypt to buy bread to survive, I caused it to ascend into your nostrils, the stench of your brothers who are dead on the road. Machanechem, the machanechem means the first machane who went to buy bread, and it ascended into your own nostrils. And all of this should have been for you a musar haskel, and a wake up call to do teshuva. And yet the pasuk says, Hashem says, v'leshavtem odai nu'um Hashem, you have not returned to me, so says Hashem. The last pasuk Yud Aleph, back to the Mitzvah of David. Hafachti bochem ritzim lemar gazati lahapich eschem gedech shenepchu estoim amara. I issued a gzera, I signed the order that there should be churban in Eretz Yisrael, similar to what happened to Sidom v'amora. You were nuked. V'yomar al golus Eretz Naphtali. What is this referring to specifically? So the Mitzvah of David is suggesting this refers to the wave of Naphtali bimei pekach. The Golos of Eretz Naphtali, Bimei Pekach Ben Remaliah, he was one of the kings of Yisrael. K'moshe Ne'emar B'molochim, V'al Golos Eivir HaYarden, Bimei Hoshe Ben Elah, also refers to another exile that took place in the days of Elah, Hoshea Ben Elah, he was the last king. That was Sancheriv, B'tchilas Malchusik Moshom B'seder Olam. He's referring over here to two very specific events. Why these two events? I do not know why. But he's referring over here to the Golos of Naphtali and to the Golos of the Jews in the Eivir HaYarden. That was the first wave of exiles through Sancheriv Melech Ashur. Vatihyu atem b'nei Shemron levat yisharu. Who will remain from the after the Churban, after the exiles, after all the tsaros come to an end? There's just going to be a few survivors. Ud mutzal me'esh. Okay, a poker that is safe from the fire. The fire burns out and it will stick to stir the coals, it also gets burnt. A little teeny stud, a little teeny piece is left over. Nothing. And here it's a very friendly, they say this about the Holocaust, what happened with Korban Europe. Holocaust, Ud Mutzal Me'esh, just a small teeny remnant survived. You remain. Like an ud that is speared from the shrift. Look over there, it's a little seal. It's just the word, it's a hard word to translate. We're not familiar with the technique of stirring the fire. Ku'od, hu ho'eitz, in Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah Tzion, on page 308, hu ho'eitz, sheminad nidin boi ho'esh. You stir. It's a piece of wood, a twig, which you use to stir the fire. Ha'necheroch misaviv. And if you're stirring the fire, what's going to happen? If you're stirring the fire with a piece of wood, the wood inevitably is going to catch on fire. And what do? You keep putting it out. It's like everyone, the only time we really can appreciate this is Erev Pesach, when people burn the chametz. The only time we have a campfire here in New York City, to the great dismay of the fire department.
Don't forget
what? Lag Bomer also, it's true. To the great dismay of the fire department, all the neighbors who can't tolerate the smoke. So you see people there, they're makeshift fires and garbage cans, and you take a piece of wood and you stir the fire, and the piece of wood also catches on fire. And the more you stir the piece of wood, eventually it gets too small, and you have to throw the piece of wood into the fire itself. But sometimes you don't get that far. The Zman B already has come, and you're left with a little piece of twig that's all burnt on one side, and it's not worth anything. That's all that will be left from Klalis, from the Aseres HaShvatim. In Ugin, it's called a poker in English. Shemir.
Calls it a brand. Don't forget that.
A brand? A brand, okay. A fire brand.
Yes.
A fire brand. There's another translation of poker.
They're all metal, like for fireplaces.
Well, if it's professional, okay, if you have it in your home, you have a fireplace in the home, of course, you're not going to go and patch around with nonsense. But if you make a makeshift fire, a campfire in the mountains, or Erev Pesach, or you said Lag BaOmer, then it's going to be a little bit different. Who ate sheminad nidim by yoeish hanechrach misaviv v'chem v'zan v'yisraudim in Yeshaya the Siyav there as well. The zan v'yisraudim means the firebrand of the udim. Zan the tail. It's called a tail because most of it has been burnt. All that's left is the very, very tip. Ha'udim, the ud, is this thing. What we call the ud. Ud is the, what we said, the fire brand. Or I once saw a translation, they call it a poker. A poker.
Yeah, poker is more like a rising. Brand is what they do for cattle.
Brand?
Not that kind.
They use the word a poker for also for animals. What do they call?
Prod.
A cattle prod. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Thank you so much. Okay, it's hot water. Good. I'm going to cool down a little bit before I make a broth. Thank you very much.
How many years before the
Korban? This, before it was about less than 200 years, 150 years.
152 years was the first time that Reuven and Gad went into Gad, 152 years before
Korban. Yaseres HaShvatim were exiled.
Yaseres HaShvatim were within 15 years, and that's time span.
Yep.
They were picked off one at a time.
Three waves. The Aseres HaShvatim went into Galus in three waves.
Oh, yeah.
There were three tukufais of Melech Ashur came to exile them.
1987, when Reuven and Gad went into Galus, 3-0.
They tried to go into
Korban.
To
what?
They tried to move into Yehudah's
territory. No, they didn't left. First, there was a war going on. They hated each other. There was a war. They were their arch enemies. Yehuda and Yisrael. And Ashur didn't let. Ashur went. He captured them. He went and he also attempted. At that time, he was not able to conquer Yerushalayim, the Malchus of Yehuda, but eventually he went there to conquer them as well. Okay, let's see now. So this concludes. Let's go back to the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos David. Okay, the Ud. Vati Atem Ud. The Mitzudos Nashreif of Leshaftem. It's in Leimar. V'tzor Leimar Yodati Shlotikhu Musar. I know that you will not receive my Musar v'leteshuv elai v'amalosh and ovar. This in the past tense. K'derech ha'nevuah b'harbi b'kod min ha'makobos k'ha'nevuah b'ruah k'ilu k'var ne'esesah. Even though Yehoshua here is, even though Amos is talking about what's happening, what is mentioning, what is going to happen in the future, Yet it's very common. We had this so many times that the Navi speaks Balashan Ovar as if it already has happened. Like Shavte Modai, you have not returned Odai to me. Odai means on to me, Num Hashem. It's in the past tense.
So
even though,
I'm sorry.
The Pasuk Yud Aleph, the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph. The end of Pasuk Yud Aleph, so read the whole Pasuk, to conclude the last Pasuk, just read the Pasuk again, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Afachti Bochem, Hashem says, Afachti, now it's the past tense, even though this did not yet happen, Amos is giving a prediction of what will happen, but he's writing it in the past tense, because when a Navi sees things already in the future, as if it already happened, and Hashem says, I have destroyed you, similar to how I have destroyed Sidoim Va'amoira. That's a very powerful expression. Vatiu ki'ud mutzal misreifa. Who will be the survivors? Like a poker, a small remnant, and they also will suffer. They're not going to come out clean. A poker is burnt on one end. It's dry. It's dirty. The survivors will have baggage. Ki'ud mutzal misreifa. And v'leshavtem odai num Hashem. Hashem says, chaval, after all is said and done, still you did not get the message, you did not learn that this was the Yad Hashem, and all of this has happened because of your sins. Okay, so that concludes these four psukim. We did over here, how many psukim? 1, 2, 3, 4. Four psukim with mitzudos. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk, back to pasuk. Ches, there is no Rashi on Pasuk Ches. So we go to Pasuk Tes, back on page 306. Harbos ga noiseichem. The abundance of your fruits that you have nurtured and planted and in the garden. Shatem oiskim laharbos ga noiseichem. You've spent a lot of time and effort to cultivate, nurture fruit. Yoichal hagozom will be consumed by the grasshoppers. Oichal hagozom, all of your effort was just a waste. That's a curse. Pasuk Yud b'derech Mitzrayim. When you're starving from food, you're going to go to Egypt to purchase some bread. K'derech sheshilachti aleichem b'midbar b'tseischem b'Mitzrayim. You're going to travel. And now it seems over here, Rashi may be learning a little bit different than the Mitzvahs. We have to see some of the other farshim, we get more insight. That does not necessarily mean they're going to Egypt to buy bread. It means they're running for their lives. And we know that to be true, that when the Sanherif attacked, people felt it would be better to escape, to be a refugee in another land, than to be taken prisoner by Sanherif. And where did they flee? They fled to Egypt. K'derech sheshilachti aleichem b'midbar b'tseischem b'Mitzrayim. The derech that I've sent you when you left Egypt is a curse that we're now going backwards. B'derech Mitzrayim k'derech sheshilachti aleichem. Just like the derech, sheshilachti aleichem, that I sent upon you, b'midbar, b'tseischem b'Mitzrayim, when you left Egypt, im shevis suseichem, sheyehargu gam hasusim. It seems over here that the curses, you're going to go back where you came from. I took you out of Egypt to redeem you, to make you into the Am HaNifchar, to give you Eretz Yisrael, and now you're misbehaving, so you know what? Go back where you came from. Go back to Egypt, go flee there, and what's going to happen when you go back there? You're going to be killed. Not only will you be killed, also shevisu seichem, sheyehargu gam hasusim, the horses will also be killed.
That seems strange.
What? Strange what?
Because Egypt
had the best horses.
Horses.
Right. The best horses. Okay, so I'm not clear. Yeah.
Right. And also,
Esther Nosh Lachel. Okay, so this is a curse. So the curse over here is that you're going to go back to Egypt, you're going to be killed. And not only will you be killed, your possessions will be killed as well. Why is that significant? I do not know. Now again, this is not like what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos has given us an entirely different interpretation. He explained that it refers to famine. There is famine, so you're going to go to Egypt to buy bread and come back. It's not what Rashi seems to be saying. Rashi seems that you're going to flee for your lives. And when you flee for your lives, you'll be killed along with your horses. Next Rashi.
Was it safer in Egypt?
They thought it was. They thought it would be. They had no choice. They thought it would be. They were stuck. There was certain death remaining in Eretz Yisrael because of the Asher. So where are you going
to
go? This they felt was their best option, and then it turns out it was not, did not do them any good. Like Rahman said in the war, people, they didn't know where to go. You go from here to there, wherever you went, the grass was always greener on the other side, and when you arrived there, it wasn't too good either.
Well, the Israel was, they either
against Asher. They were their nemesis, right? Of Asher. So they felt they would be safe there. But it did not work out well for them. The odor of your dead bodies will produce stench. And you'll smell it. You'll smell the filth. There are a lot of horrible stories in the Holocaust where people where the stench of the crematoria that they was as soon as they got off the trains, they can smell the dead bodies. They can smell. So this is we had before allusions to the Holocaust. We had this before in the beginning of the Perek when it says I'm going to transport you in vehicles that were never meant for human beings. Vehicles that were meant to transport animals and like fish. The cattle cars. And here you have here another thing, and this is something which you cannot possibly read an article about Auschwitz or about any of the concentration camps and not mention the stench of burning dead bodies, burning flesh, but not just burning flesh, but of sickness and all different types. All smell is a very significant element in the pain and suffering, the humiliation of the Jews in the Holocaust. Wherever they went, especially in the concentration camps, that was the first thing, the stench, the smell. It's a very, very frightening thing. You know, we discussed this, and the Chet Eitz Hadas, Chazal mentioned, there was only one sense that was not nifkam in the Chet Eitz Hadas, the sense of smell. There are five senses, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. In the Chet Eitz Hadas, it mentions four of the five. Chava saw. She spoke. She told her husband. Her husband listened. And she touched. She touched. The Nachash pushed her upon the Eitz Hadas. She touched it. And they ate. Adam Mechava. The only thing that it does not mention the Chet Eitz Hadas is smell. There was no... The Reach was not Nifkan. It did not participate in the sin of the first sin, which brought Churban to the world. And that is why smell, traditionally, has been such a very significant thing. Asfari, they make a bracha, bari atzei besamim, bari minei besamim, when they add a simcha, we seri mitzvah Shabbos, we make a bracha, bari minei besamim, and the ketores, on Yom HaKippurim, what do we bring inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The ketores. Okay, so smell is something which is very, very significant because smell was not nifkan. It was not damaged in the chait of the Eitz Hadas. And through the koyach of reach, we'll be able to restore ourselves to shleimus the way we were before the chait Eitz Hadas. Because it was never damaged. Right. Yet...
Because you think what we all do today is we take a fruit... We can smell it first.
Right, there's a special bracha. Right.
But now we're saying with the
Eitz
Hadas that he or she didn't do that. They just ate it.
It doesn't say, right, it does not say anywhere in the Psukim of the Chet Eitz Hadas that other Mechavos smelled from the Eitz Hadas. It does not say anywhere that the sense of smell...
But
yeah?
Haven't we mentioned before that smell is included in taste?
Not necessarily. Yes and no. Yes and no. There is a degree of smell, but it still does not say the words of smell.
Okay.
The chait eitz hadas.
It depends what that eitz was.
Okay, was it gefen?
I'm just saying it's a natural inclination.
Depends
on something before you put it in your mouth.
What it was. If it was wheat, you don't smell wheat.
Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu
Melech Olam
Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi. You're right. So, but the point is, Chazal make note of this. Chazal make note of the fact that the sense of smell is not mentioned. Therefore, that is significant in that although there was smell, obviously, it was not damaged. A person damaged his sense of taste. A person damaged his eyes. A person damaged his ears. Damaged his nerves, his nerve endings, the sense of touch. Because he used all of these things to rebel against Hashem. Hashem told Adam v'Chava, stay away from the Eitz Hadas. They did not listen. They committed a grave sin from which we all suffer ad hayom hazeh, and they used their senses. Okay, they used their senses, and therefore those senses have become damaged. The only sense that's not mentioned is the sense of smell, which means the sense of smell was not damaged. Therefore, when we want to return to Hashem, the way we return to Hashem is through the item that was not damaged. I'll give you a mashal. Havdol elef alfei havdolai from my gears of the Yankusa. Superman, when he gave up all of his powers, and then he wanted to get his powers back, what do you have to go? You got to go to the one piece. He went to that. This one, the shirish. This one thing that was not nifkam. You know what I'm talking about? You don't remember the movie?
Superman,
right? I remember the movie, Mahash, like it was yesterday. I remember all the details. Okay, yeah. You go back to the Shoresh, the one thing that was not Nifkam, and from there he was able to bring himself back to his, forget
so
it.
Tell us, don't say forget it.
Super smell?
I don't want to waste time with Superman out. So, but any event, over here, there's one sense that was not damaged. When man wants to return to Hashem and restore himself, he has to go back to the item that is perfect, that's pure, that has not been damaged. Through that item, he'll be able to restore himself. And that is why in the Torah, the koyach of reach is very, very significant. Reach is the ketores, lefnai v'lefnim, it's brought twice a day. The Ketores is something which is extremely, extremely powerful because the Koyach of Reach has not been damaged. What is utterly frightening is that here, when we're describing over here, incredible Chorban, and as we know all too well in regard to the Holocaust, the horror of smell played an enormous, enormous role in causing Klal Yisrael suffering. Okay, when people got off the trains in Auschwitz and they can smell the stench of burning flesh, they can smell the stench of human waste. Okay, where do they go to the bathroom? In the house, they had them go out. Nowhere. They just out right outside the barracks. They went. The whole place stunk. The stench was an enormous power in suffering. And how could that be? All of the senses, the one thing that was not nifkan, that did not participate in Avera, was the koyach of smell. Going back to the Chet Eitz Hadas. Yet, when HaKadosh Baruch gets angry at us for our sins, there's nothing holding Hashem back. Hashem even uses the tool, the koyach of smell, as a tool of punishment against Klal Yisrael. And that's what it says over here, is the v'oish machanechem, the stench of your camp, u'v'apichem, it will rise up into your nostrils. Let's go back over here to part, now we go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph. What is an ud? Ud is a poker. Kei kolomar, shechoyrim v'chashuchim v'koydrim. He learns, Pasuk Yud Aleph Rashi, that the significance of the ud means you'll be black. You'll be dark, filthy, dirty. Black is shechoyrim. Chashuchim means dark. The koidrim is like the bottom of a pot.
Oh, you didn't ask me what the French word is.
Yeah, what's the French word?
Tisson, which, like the name Tyson, which means an ember.
An ember, okay. So this, now this, that's very interesting. We know in Tisha B'Av, one of the keenest towards the end is where Yirmiyah meets a woman dressed in black. And not only is she dressed in black, her complexion, her face, she's filthy dirty. And he says, are you a human being? Are you a demon? So she says, none of the above. I'm not a person. I'm not a demon. I am Knesset Yisrael. I represent the Shechina, and the Shechina was dressed in black. The face was dark. In Mamish, what it says here, Ki'ud, an Ud, Mutzal Me'esh, which has the characteristic of being dark. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. We didn't do that yet. Okay, now let's go to the Radak. Let's go to the Radak, going back to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, we do the Pasuk Mol over again. V'nohu El ir achas lishtois mayim, el oiso ir sha'amtir leho, vine taxu lohem lechem umayim, the afal pichem leshavtem odai. Okay, the pasuk over here just says the continuation is going to be there's going to be a drought, and you're going to be forced to relocate to find some water, and there's not going to be enough water, you're going to be lacking in water, basar and mayim, and you're going to suffer, and you're not going to realize that this is the Yad Hashem. Hashem wants you to do teshuvah. You have no one to blame but yourself. Pasuk Tes, hey Casey, Oid Shana Acheres Sheyia Motor Akeschem Bamake Acheres. There'll be other times, even in a year when there'll be bread, there's going to be a different type of punishment. What's the punishment? That there's going to be a shidafoin, very harsh winds that will cause the crop to be destroyed, and there will be, yerokoin. There'll be another curse where the locusts will eat up the fruit. Same musar leshavtem elai. Odai means elai. It's a very unusual word we said before. You have now returned to me. Next words, harbois ganois seichem. Ma yoyolochem shetarbu litois. Ganois kramim usenim zesim kiagozam. What benefit is dear to you? Shetarbu to litois. Litois means to plant. To plant gardens, vineyards, figs, and olives. It's not going to make a difference because the grasshoppers will consume them. Kiagozam yoychal loisam biafal pichem lo shavtem odai. You have still not done teshuva. Pasuk yud shilachti b'derech Mitzrayim. I've sent you to Egypt to bring, because of the famine, to bring tevuah. He learns here like the mitzudos, that the purpose of going to Egypt was for what? Not to escape the slaughter, but was to purchase food. Why do you assume, the reason why there's going to be famine is because it's a natural event. It's not that Hashem has done this to you. When you went down to Egypt, you were attacked. You got sick, and you were attacked. You did not do teshuvah. Who were the ones they sent down to Egypt to buy food? It were the young men. They would kill the young men, harochvim al hasusim, hahochim lemitzrayim, oy hashavim, mibam. Also, here he has a new interpretation. He translates the word shvi, meaning not they would seize as captives the horses.
Well, here he's
going to
say both, really.
Okay, vahoyu shvi. Okay, fine. Okay, it's nusar acher. Okay, vahoyu shavim hasusim. It would appear, okay, it's not really clear what he means to say, is that possibly the word shvi means on the way back. Either they would kill them on the way there, or they'd kill them on the way back, and they would take the animals as booty, as they would steal the animals for themselves.
Yeah.
Pasuk, okay, now we go to Pasuk, the next page. So pretty much Kematzah, the same exact thing as the Mitzudo started. Now, Pasuk, next page, Peshiyon, on the right, on the top of the page, Ve'alev v'oish machanechem. I will bring up a stench in your camps, and it will enter your nostrils. Will be killed, and your dead bodies will give up a stench. Those who pass on the road will smell the dead bodies. In your own nostrils will your own stench rise up. Because it wasn't just one machane. Multiple machanes, and a later machane would encounter the dead bodies of an earlier machane and would smell the stench of their dead bodies. The later camps would discover the earlier camps. Harugim the oile boshom, the stench be upon their nostrils. Still Hashem says, "Leshavtem odai, you did not take the message. You did not do teshuva." Same came out, the same exact thing as the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hafachti, I'm going to destroy you like I destroyed Sidoim Va'amoira, and what will remain from you? An Ud Mutzal Me'esh, a poker. Miksas Arzachem Be'oitchem Bo'hi Shemama, is desolate. Kistoim v'amoira. The atem shenishartem at, you who survive, hare atem, you know different than, ki ud mutsol misreifa, a poker that you pull out of a campfire. V'chol ze atem ro'im v'einchem shavim adai. Now, what does Yonason say, Targum? Yonason Targum, rachek memri yas choin kimod rachek yas sedom yas amara. What's the significance? The significance of mentioning, comparing us to Sidoim va'amoira, that they have no connection to Yiddishkeit, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rachek memri, my words are distant from you, like the distant, just like Sidoim k'drach, just like Sidoim and Amoira. What does it say in the pasuk about Sidoim v'amoira? Hayu rishoyim. It says nothing less by calling the people Chatohim laHashem me'oid. Okay, they were sinners to Hashem very much. They detested Hashem, and all of their takanos, all of their laws, were all aimed to reject Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And here the pasuk is telling us, Rachman Litzan, that Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael, was the same state at this moment in time.
By the way,
yes.
We have the word. We had the word here. Ba'osh. It says after the incident with Shechem. It says by Yomer Yaakov el Shimon el Levi, Achartem osi lahavi sheni biyoshev haoretz.
Lahavi sheni. So what is lahavi?
Word.
Embarrassment.
No, they are shame. A stench.
Oh yeah.
Is that what it means there?
Yeah.
How do you spell it? Le, lamed, hey. Beis,
Aleph, Yud, Shin.
Lahavi.
Lahav Isheni.
Isheni. I hear what you're saying. To bring up stench. We're a source of stench for all the nations.
Yeah, we stink to them.
We stink to them. They're going to get rid of us.
Yeah.
Is that what it means? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi and Targum say there? You don't know? Okay, whatever. Okay, that's a little interesting. Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. You're right. I never thought about it. You're right. Okay. Interesting. Very, very interesting. This is Parsha.
Yeah.
When his children, they wiped out Shechem because of Dinah. So Yaakov gave him Musar. He objected. He gave them Musar. What did you do? You're now a source of trouble. Now the nations of the world, they're going to go and they're going to take revenge. They're going to view us as dangerous people, fundamentalists. And they're going to, who knows what they're going to do to us. And the word that Yaakov used, Lahavi Sheni, and Rabbi Michal is telling us the word Lahavi Sheni there is the same exact word as Ve'oit, which means stench. Is that we are now going to be as a stench. When you have stench in your vicinity, what do? You eliminate it. You call in a cleaning crew to get rid of it. To get rid of it. So they're going to get rid of us. Because they view us to be a source of danger. Because of what we've done to the people of Shechem. And therefore, we have no choice. Therefore, your behavior is not going to play out well for us. Now, let's go to the Malbum.
I think that may not be the only such
place. Right, there must be other interpretations.
Also,
Mitzrayim is the use. Okay, you have to also see if that is the only interpretation of Lord Lahavi Sheni. Okay, but he's saying very good. It means stench. Excellent. Let's take a look now at the Malbum. The Malbum back on page 307. Vino,
over here in the parsha
yeah.
This week, it says odious.
Odious, which what does odious mean?
Smell.
Okay, that's mamash what it means. Odious, smell. Okay, very good. What else does it say there on the bottom? Is anything on the bottom? The stone edition? What is Rashi? Is there Rashi there? What does Rashi say on this? Lahavi Sheni?
There's no Rashi on the word.
Targum? Is there a Targum on the word? Here it Targum says Sirus. It says Sirus.
Well, you also have the word Bish.
Bish. Bish means evil.
Yeah.
Evil people. Wait, what does it say there in the Targum? One more time.
To give words or something to you.
An excuse.
Excuse.
It's going to be now an excuse for them to kill us. They anyway hate us. B'yadua halacha, b'yadua Esav son Yaakov. So now it's going to be an excuse for them to kill us. Here the Targum says the word Sirus. You have to look at Mikros Gedolos. The Kiddush Targum Yonason, that's Targum Unkelos. You have to see. It's very. It's obviously, there's more than one parish. There is more than one parish. What it means, Lahav Isheni. Article is translating the word odious, which seems to be not what it says in the Targum. So where is the article getting their translation from? They always like to pride themselves that they get from Rashi. From here, but there the Targum, the default there in Chumash is if Targum, Rashi does not comment, normally the rules are, if Rashi does not comment, so you go to the Targum. More often, very often there's a machlokes between the Targum and Rashi as to the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. So some people will prefer to translate the words like the Targum, and some prefer to translate it like Rashi. But where there is no dispute, where Rashi does not comment, then you assume that even Rashi agrees that the similar translation should be what it says in the Targum. And it's saying over there, the Targum there means that what you have done is now given words. They now have a reason to condemn us in the United Nations.
Right.
Words. Pischoin peh. A pischoin peh. That's how the Targum, Lahavi Sheni, they're giving the goyim a pischoin peh to make trouble for us.
A pretext.
Excellent. That's not what it says here. Here it's clearly V'oish means Sirus. Sirus means a stench. Okay, so we have different translations.
Smell, right?
Smell. Yeah. An odor. So if we have over here, now could you take the translation of Rashi there and inject it over here and say that it means that when you're going to go down to Egypt, and you go, the boys are going to be killed, and the horses are going to be captured. Now, apachem, the fact that we have to hear the word be apachem, nose, obviously much more leans to the interpretation that the word ve'oish means a stench. You want to say it means a pischoin peh, a pretext that the goyim. They're going to say, what are these Jews doing here in Egypt? What are you coming down to make trouble in Egypt? It doesn't say that here. I don't know, maybe look at some more in Mepharshim. Let's take a look. Now let's go to the Malbim. Okay, let's go back and do the Malbim, starting with Pasuk Ches. Back on page 307. 307 Pasuk Ches, the Ayde Koch. When there's going to be a drought, what will be the result? The result is going to be Yanu Shtayim V'Sholosh Adim El Ir Achas. The result will be that there's going to be population relocation. The Jews are going to go from one city to the next. Shasham Yeret Hamata Lishtos Mam Ki Etzlam Yiyat Tziyav Tziman, because in the land where they come from there is dryness and drought. The Gamlo Yisbohu, there's no satisfaction. Ki Tova Me'ira B'Me'echem, because going to be a curse will come in their stomachs. Uvichol Zos Lo Shavtem Adayinu Hashem Im Yitok Hashem V'Ir Havam Lo Yecharadu. Going back to the same idea that they have not gotten the message. They continue to do averos. Pasuk Tes, he Casey lochein toka b'shefer b'ham shlishes. The Malbim is lishi tosa. The Malbim is trying to connect everything we learn over here to the mesholim, to the examples that were presented in the beginning of the perek. And he writes over here. That's why I blew the shofar a third time. The heavy rav yoiser kasha shikas kolatvua. There's a more severe type of famine. The famine comes not just because of the absence of rain, but there's a shidofon, strong winds that destroy the crop. Uvayerokoi, there's humidity, which caused the crops to decay. There's prihoetz ochal hagozam, locusts come and eat the fruit. V'leshav demodai, v'omlo yecheradu, the people do not pay attention. Pasuk Yud
shilachtem chem deder. It's not a type of locust, it just means...
What? Gozan
about
locust.
No, we're talking about crop diseases.
All different types. There are three. Oh. There are many different types. There's a shidofoin, the strong winds. There's yerokoin.
Gozan, kind of name of a certain.
Gozan is
grass.
A locust.
Sorry.
Gozan is a type of
locust.
I think also it could be. He's right. It could be. It's a general. It's both. It's two things. It's two things.
Right?
It represents all the meaning.
They call it the shearing locust because the gozan.
It could be it's a catch-all phrase. Gaza means all the varieties, but it also refers to one specific species. Pasuk Yud. Shilachti bochem dever. Taka ba shoifa pama revius. Shilach bochem dever be'ez shaholchu b'derech Mitzrayim. Now remember, we learned yesterday that the shofar was sounded five times. It says five times the blowing of the shofar, three for cherev, three for famine, one for dever, and one for cherev. And the Malam is matching up the five times it says shofar in the beginning of the section to the five different tragedies that are being, five different forms of famine that are being mentioned now. Shilach b'chem dever, toka b'shofar in pam revius, shilach b'chem dever be'ez shaholchu b'derech Mitzrayim. Now referring to the shofar, the fourth shofar. The shofar of dever. When did this happen? When the people were starving and they went to Egypt to buy food. Shavuot b'Hoshea. When did this happen? This historical period. In the time of Hoshea ben Ela, the last king of the Aseres HaShvatim. Ki rabim yaseres HaShvatim holchu b'ez ahilu Mitzrayim b'nei Hamas HaMetzik. So he's learning like who? Not like the Mitzudois, but learning like Rashi. What did Rashi say? What are we referring to here when it says that they went to Egypt? Not like the Mitzudos, they went to Egypt to buy food. It means they went to Egypt to escape the onslaught. And when did this happen? It's recorded in Sefer Melachim. It's recorded when they went. The Mechamas Ameitzik v'sham shilach Hashem v'chem dever k'moshu kasov sham Mitzrayim tikka b'tzeim moif tikka b'tzeim. Okay, two places. There's Mitzrayim and there's a city called Moif, Memphis. There's a city in Egypt called Moif. Tikabre will bury them. In Egypt, the Egyptians will gather them. They will all be collected in Egypt, and they'll be buried in the city called Moif. Moif Tikabre. The Gam Oz Bederech, Itzeh Harakti, Bachere, Bachurechem. Not only will they be killed, they'll die through disease, they will die through the sword. Ki Melech Asher Ba Lehem Bederech Vaharagam. Melech Asher met them on the road and killed them. Becheref, kasher yelchu, as you travel, Efros aleichem rishti Hashem says, I will spread upon you my net. What's the net? The net of Sancheref. Yiblu vacheref soreichem, your princes will fall by the sword. Uchemosh pirashti v'alidei shenergu bacheref heim im shvisu sehem. Being that they were killed together with the Shvi Susehem. Now what does it mean, Shvi? We always say the spoils of their horses. Alev Oish Shal Machanechem Sheyivashu Hapigorim Shalodom Vehasusim Anuflim Asadeh. The stench of the dead bodies of the people and of the dead horses will rise. Uve Abchem will enter your own nostrils. So he's saying over Beg Chiddush is that the stench causes illness. Okay, the stench. That's a Chiddush, because I don't know that was now that's so well understood. It's one thing when there are germs. Okay, you have germs. You have bacteria, but is there any can what's in the air pure? Pure odor can cause sickness. But the fumes really include in it.
Fumes from 9/11 killed thousands of people.
Because the fumes are. It wasn't just the fumes. It was there was toxins in the fumes. But what, let's say you have something that just odor. You can't. There's nothing.
Not just odor. These are.
Okay, it must be. So there's something to it.
Disease in the air.
Okay, there's these. So a lot of talk today, you know, I don't know if you pay attention to the news, a lot of talk today with our environment. Now they're introducing 5G. You know what 5G is? Everyone's cell phone here is called 4G. Now they're laying out what's called 5G. 5G is 10 times faster than 4G. If it takes you 30 seconds to download a 3-hour movie, it'll only take you 1 second, half a second, to your smartphone. This requires more power. There's already been so much discussion of radiation, all this electrical radiation in the air. Okay, in this room you can pick up how many Wi-Fi signals? You can probably pick up 20 Wi-Fi signals. And there's also something called dirty electricity. You know what that is? That's even more scary. The electricity that we have today, that the lights were not meant for the wiring that was laid out 50, 60, 70 years ago was not designed for LED lights. For almost every electrical device that we use today, it was not designed. So what do? They have transformers. You plug into the grid, and you have a transformer which reduces the electricity. When you use a transformer to reduce the electricity, you cause static. You cause in the electricity grid a static which produces radiation. And since everything today is optimized, in the electricity there is filth. There is an enormous amount of static. And people are very concerned. Are these things that are floating around in the air, is it really good for us? Does it really affect us? And with cell phones, all these things, and so, okay, used just a little bit, you know, years ago, big deal, this, that, microwaves. But today, it's so pervasive. And it's getting worse very, very fast, especially now with 5G, which is going to up the ante 10 times more. The amount of power you need to produce 5G is very, very much. And it's very frightening. And over here it says, Chazal said that what's in the air can kill you. It says that they went down from Egypt, and the boys were killed, and they lined the road, and there was stench coming from the dead bodies and from the horses. This, in turn, caused there to be a dever, a plague, back in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is far away. It's so far away, why should the dever spread to Eretz Yisrael from what's happening over here on the road to Egypt? Obviously, there's something that we don't know. There's something in the air. There's something, there's some koyach that's in the air, even though you can't see, you can't smell. You can't smell.
Is it odor caused by something in the air?
It is. So that's the question. What is the science? What is the science? We really don't know. There's a lot of things that we do not know, but over here there's a very telling malum.
We know that things can carry very far. They say that from the fires in California...
Right, it's coming now. This fog.
...drifted over this way. Yeah?
Yeah, there's going to be fog in New York from the fires of California. It's a very telling... Look, it's a very telling malum. Because the Bible here says of the Abchem, this stench will come in your noses. It's going to cause the cycle to continue. That's why it's connected over here to this pasuk. The dead bodies will lie on the road. It will produce a stench. And that stench will cause dever. And that dever will spread all the way back where you came from, Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
From the frogs.
And another one. After Moshe says Lo Mahariosa, right? It says Hivashtem Esrei Chenu Be'nei Paro.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. We've caused our we stink in his eyes. He can't deal with us. Excellent. Okay, v'leshavtem alayv, that's going back to the fourth pasuk. Okay, go back to the Malm, let's finish with the Malm pasuk, Yud Aleph, pasuk page 308. Hafachti, oz toka b'shoifer pam chamishes. This is the fifth sound of the shoifer, referring to Hashem is going to make Eretz Yisrael into Sedoim v'amoira. Shavach b'bom, ki ma'pecha Sedoim v'amoira, v'kivim b'zal ha'golus, shehiglom melech Ashur mi'artzom, the golus of melech Ashur, that he destroyed their land. After he exiled the Jewish people, the land turned into what was like Sodom and Gomorrah. Only Shomer and Etzom. We mentioned many times, there were three waves of exile. After the first two waves of exile, what was left? The capital. What was the capital? Shomron and its suburbs. And the people in Shomron are being compared in this pasuk to a poker. Vatihiyu ki'ud mutsol misreifa. Ki'ud, like a poker, asher shtei kitzoysav. Both sides. Ochlo ha'esh, because you turn it around back and forth. V'soichay nochar, and the inside is parched. The inside, because it was in proximity to the fire, the inside is parched. uvichol zos, and therefore we should learn musa that we are the cause of all of these problems. Uvichol zos, v'loy shavtem adaynu mashem amlo yechon. So really, the beautiful thing about the Malm that no one else really mentions is it's very beautiful how he goes and he counts the koilos. There were five koilos in the beginning of this parak. Five times it says call out with the shofar. Three of them are referenced to Rav, one is in reference to Dever, and one is in reference to Cheref. And he very beautifully shows here in this pasuk there were three different situations of famine. Okay, the first one, the famine, that's the three of the Rav. What are the three? The first thing is not going to be rain. And then it says there's not going to be fruit. All of your fruits are going to perish. They go, and then it says it's going to be shidofoin uvayerokoin. We have to really figure out how he breaks up the three different types of famine. The first is the choyso lechem. The beginning is in pasuk vav. That was number one. V'gam ani nosati lochem nikyoin shinayim v'chol oreichem v'choyso lechem v'chol nikoim oseichem v'leshavt modainim Hashem. The first coil of Ra'av is there will be a lack of bread and meat. The second is there's going to be a drought. The third is there's going to be Shidafon Yerokoin, winds decay, where all of your fruits in the gardens and the orchards are going to be destroyed. Then we come to the fourth coil of the Shofar. That was in reference to Dever, plague. And that refers to the Jews going down to Egypt. Either it means they're going down to Egypt to buy bread, or they're going down to escape Melech Ashur, and there they're going to die from Dever. And then the fifth call of Cherev is that Ashur, when he comes and he cleans out Naphtali, and he cleans out Eved HaYarden, the first two waves of exile, most of Eretz Yisrael will be like Sedom v'Amora. All the people will be killed and exiled, and all that will be left is the Ud, Mutzal Misreifa, the people left over in Shomrein. So it's Zeh L'umazeh, five koilos of three of Rav, one of Dever, and one of Cheref, corresponding here to what we learn in these psukim, the five different tragedies that will occur. No bread and no meat, drought, and then a curse to the fruits and vegetables. Going down to Egypt is the Rav, is the Dever, and then the Kima Pecha, Sedoim V'Amora, is the exiles of the Aseres HaShvatim through Melech Ashur. Before we go, let's just do maybe we'll do the Choy Masanoch. If we have over here, or that's the next section. The Choy Masanoch is, that's the next section. Okay, so let's, is there any Maimar Chazal? On this section, no, there is no Maimar Chazal. Okay, so that's where we'll stop over here then. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, will pick up with Pasuk Yudbeis.
That means. How are you?
How are you?
Yeah, Hashem. Thank you very much. I skipped. I would have Mirtz Hashem would have a chance.
Where are you?
I went. I read everything. Regarding Sabbatisha and the Chazalazer. That's why I was very.
It was good?
Yeah. Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan's there. Did he? I'll tell you after. Yeah. It's not fair. You want to prepare.
Yeah. You have diabetes.
Right. Yeah. He was. He had a private conversation with the Sabra Kadisha. And after everybody showed him the room, and there were people. You read that part? And the guy was in Malgolias, who was one of the greatest Malkabal of his time.
You're going to get some
word. Yeah. Where he asked them. I'm going to leave a lot of details. He said, when is Mashiach coming? So he said, there's a behind the door, behind the wall. Achim Kislein.
You know, Jeff,
he knows.
So according
No, fine. Two pages. I am down on the hay. Yeah, what is that? Yes.
So it has to do with the smell or the taste? It has to do with the taste.
What is it, the rare, the fragrance, the smell?
The smell.
Smell comes from the moon.
It's only two
That's
pages.
Why the moon is called the rare.
It's when we spoke with the light of the day. They're not ripe, and they're taken earlier, so it's so we don't.
The moon is the fragrance.
You're saying that the Yisrael is to have like a little smell to it.
Rare of Harris.
So this place is good.
See, what are you saying here? Behind the wall, what is the Sheikh?
So some say that he asked him what's the Sheikh. So there's a lot of interpretations. But oh no, you have to observe the Rav Magalius. He's asked him, what is that? What is Sheikh? So he answered, the Mashiach is prepared, is ready to come. The wall, he can't enter. The wall is blocking him. He cannot enter. He can't enter. The Rishi Yisrael.
The what?
The Rishi Yisrael, the Rishon. This is, with the down there is to prevent the Mashiach from coming. So when Chazalaza says, am I from those people that are Ma'akad the Gula? Chalila, Chalila. Could you believe the Chazalaza sound himself? He said, Chalila, not your matter. Anyway, when he passed away, when the Chazalaza was there, he was really sick, he was bedridden. So he fell down to the ground with Chazalaza, and he said, Mashiach, I guess he felt he could have been Mashiach. He referred to him as Mashiach. The Mashiach left us. Mashiach Yaakov.
Wow.
Something in Lashon.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks like they held from each other.
Of course.
They quote the letters, curse, you know.
It's very bizarre. Holding this is
about 120 years old.
Because like he once told.